Hello there, it's the Postcast brought to you by Racing Post Members Club. I'm Bruce Millington, and this week joining me to look at some really, really great jumps action. Some of the biggest names in the sport in action, both in England and Ireland, are Robbie Wilders and Mark Boylan. Here's what's coming up on the show. There are seven races on ITV on Saturday, four from Haydock, three from Ascot. We'll also bring you the rest of the boys' Saturday fantasies. And ITV4 are showing four at Punchestown on Sunday and three at Exeter. So we'll go through those as well. Plus, we'll get the weekend naps, loads to be getting on with. And we'll start with Haydock. The 150 is the 2 mile, 5.5 furlong. Get daily rewards with Betfair Graduation Chase. Just the four runners. Now, we do have small but very select fields for a lot of our races, unfortunately. But, like I say, the quality is there, if not always the quantity. The going currently soft at Haydock, but as we know, with Haydock and its famous microclimate, anything's possible. It could be rained off, it could dry out, but it's soft at the moment. Hitman is the favourite at 4-7. Minella Drama is 6-1, and then it's 13-2, Earn River and Itchy Feet. Robbie, before we get your fancy, Hitman's also in one of our TV races at Ascot. What's the latest you're hearing in terms of where he's going to run?
Yeah, I mean, Haydock's his first preference. And I mean, Jed Mason, his part owner, is in Racepost headquarters at the moment. And apparently that is still the plan to go to Haydock.
Let's work on the basis that Hitman is going to run at Haydock. Will he win? There's lots of twos by his name. Can he turn one of those into a one? Well, he can't turn any of them into one because he can't go back in time.
I think he can. Yeah, I really like this horse. I've actually backed him for the King George at the start of the season. You know, he's bumped into some really top class horses. I think he is going to be a 3 miler in time, but 2.5 is perfectly fine here. I don't really, it's just quite a weak sort of graduation chase, really. I mean, this is a horse who's placed in grade ones running in a class two. So I think he's just going to have far too much, really.
And is 4-7 a fair price?
I actually do think that, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be one to steam in at odds on ideally, but I think he's more like a sort of 2-5 shot for me.
One for the multiples, perhaps. Is that how you see it, Mark Boylan?
Not necessarily, Bruce. I'm just a little bit concerned about this fella's finishing effort, especially if it got testing at Haydock, as we know, obviously, that it can. If this turned bottomless, you're looking at a horse with three wind-ups in the space of his last 10 runs. I thought he was going to beat Fakir Didari in the Melling last season. He travelled every bit as well as him, probably better than him, and I didn't think he found a massive amount for it. Now, I know he's come back with a big run on entry to start his season. Really admirable effort, but I just think a horse of his sort of nature, who has obviously, you know, if they're thinking with his win that much, it can't be completely robust. I think you get into Haydock territory here, nothing can happen, and I know Earn River is wrong at the weights with him, but you know he handles soft ground. I think he's a horse who's certainly better than a mark of 144. I'm not saying he's necessarily Hitman's class, you know, that he's necessarily a 160 horse, but I think in these conditions, you're not sure to get the prime version of Hitman. I think Earn River, you know, tactically here, he's pretty versatile. You know he's going to give himself a chance with the way the race is going to... It's a small field. I'd imagine Manila Drama will be up there and doing his thing in the front end. I actually think Earn River at the prices, you're getting a bit of value here. 13-2 available, 6-1. I'd rather take my chance than that than Hitman at skinny odds.
Have you ever tried commentating, Mark?
No, never other than in my bedroom here years and years ago. No, I haven't, Bruce.
You should. You should. You've absolutely got the perfect voice for it. I think you'd be an unbelievable commentator, Mark. But you're also a great tipster, so we're glad to have you in that, guys. And your first selection is Earn River at 13-2, whereas Robbie likes the 4-7 favourite Hitman. We move on now to the 225 at Haydock, which is the Betfair Exchange Stayers Handicap Hurdle. We've got 13 runners. 3 miles, half a furlong is the trip, and it's pretty open. Might I for Harry Fry and Sean Bowen, his 9-2 joint favourite with Rum for Oscar. And then it's 6-1, good risk at all. 17-2, complete unknown. 10, get a tonic. 10, we'll call. 14, bar. Let's see what's cooking in terms of extra places. Good old William Hill, a 5-5. Few others going four as well. So, as we always say on the show, go on the Racing Post app or on racingpost.com, click on the best price button, and not only will you get a range of best prices with all the leading bookmakers, but you also get an instant guide to where the each way value is. So, with all that in mind, Mark Boylan, where is the value here?
Just to put it out there, if David Jennings is on this podcast, my favourite colleague here in Ireland, he would be shouting from the rooftops about Might I. I think that is his ultimate cliff horse last season. I think he fancied it to be Constitution Hill last year at Sandown. So
He's got a few Cliff horses, though, hasn't he, that boy? I mean, that tracker, that must test the IT capacity on a tracker. He follows so many horses week after week. And, yeah, My Eye is one of them. So DJ will be going for My Tie. Who will you be going for, Mark?
Holstone, I think, is the value here, Bruce. 25 to 1 there. I see knocking about for him. You know, if we do get the testing conditions that we're likely to expect here at Haydock as the card goes on, this fella's form figures on heavy 1-2, 1-1-2. Won the Rendlesham over course and distance here last season. You know, record fresh. He's had one run this season. Generally, fresh is pretty good, but I think he's 11 now. You know, he's entitled to maybe need that first run to sharpen him up, but I don't think there was any shame in finishing second to Good Risk at All at Carlisle last time. You know, £6 better terms here. Just don't think he should be 25 to 1. Nigel Justin Davis, you know, he won the Greatwood last week, but he's at 8 seconds from his last 25 runners too. They are running well, even if it necessarily isn't converting to winners across the board. So give me a slot of Holstone each way.
Interesting selection there. Holstone for Mark. Who for Robbie?
Yeah, I really like this race, Bruce. I mean, you look through the recent winners, it's got a history of producing Grade 1 horses. Paisley Park won it 2018. Sam Spinner won it 2017. You go back a bit further, there are a few other Grade 1 winners. Grand Cru, Dynast. I'm looking out for a horse here that's possibly got Grade 1 potential. And My Eye would certainly be top of that list for me. Really good second at Aintree on his first trot, 2.5 miles. He's a half brother to Statler as well, which gives the encouragement that he's going to get three. Probably a little bit found out behind John Bond and Constitution Hill over two last season, but I think he's definitely on a good mark of 142. But I think the better value possibly could be Get a Tonic for Dan Skelton. Really eye-catching. Second to Mary's Rock as a novice last season off level weights. Obviously, Mary's Rock went out and won two of the top mares, Grade Ones at the Punchdown and Cheltenham Festivals after that. She's off 133. She's unexposed over 3 miles. Dan Skelton's comments in his stable tour certainly wouldn't put you off, and she's about 10 to 1. So I think
if my eyes
are about 5 to 1, I'll be having an each way bet on him, but I'll certainly be having an each way bet on Get a Tonic at 10s.
Okay. We've got five places, like I say. So that is incentive to get stuck in each way. Right then, the big race of the weekend is the 3 o'clock at Haydock. It's the Betfair Chaser Grade 1 over 3 miles, 1.5 furlongs. Our Plutard, 4 to 7 favourite. Protector at 3 to 1, 8 to 1 good old Bristol Demire, 28 El Dorado Allen, and 33 good old Frodon. I mean, we've had 5 or 6 runners line up for this ever since the year dot, and thankfully they've all stood their ground so far. Robbie, will they all stand their ground?
I think Frodon might come out. I think Frodon might. Yeah, he's not. Nichols is always on the record of saying he wants it a bit quicker. I don't think El Dorado Allen would worry me on the ground as well. I mean, the only two really it's a positive for is Protectorat and Bristol Demire.
The worry is Plutard. Well, he should definitely show up.
I think he'll definitely run. Like,
hasn't he? Yeah.
Because Plutard has such a limited amount of races he can run in, like Grade Ones over 3 miles, left-handed track. So I think he probably will. But I think Protectorat's going to beat him, to be honest. I know he's got £16 to find. And I know that he was behind Aplutar, well beaten in the Gold Cup. But this is a very rare set of circumstances, Haydock on heavy ground. I don't know about Aplutar over a trip this long on heavy. I mean,
it's soft.
I mean, yeah, but it's going to be heavy, isn't it?
I don't know. How do you know?
Yeah, well, there's more rain anticipated. I mean, there's a chance this card won't even go ahead, Bruce.
Really? Well, yeah, I mean, that's always the case with Haydock, isn't it? I mean, a sparrow urinates on the home straight and it's off, isn't it? But, you know, I mean, It is soft. There is rain forecast, but we just don't know how much. But
yeah, it's
okay.
True. I'm working. I mean, we can only make predictions, can't we, this far out? But
sure.
I think it's probably going to be heavy. And
okay.
I think Aplutar is a stayer with a turn of foot. I don't know. I think it's going to blunt him. And I just look at the way Protectorat went through the mud at Aintree last December, the Many Clouds chase. He's beaten Native River 25 lengths. I know Native River's obviously retired now. But, I mean, he's made Sam Brown look very ordinary. Sam Brown's proven himself a good horse on conditions he likes. I think he's gonna really enjoy it. And I think he can beat Aplutar on these. I think Aplutar, if it was over 2.5 miles, I'd prefer him on this kind of ground. But we still need to learn that he properly stays, you know, a trip in excess of 3 on heavy ground.
Okay. Interesting. Protector at 3 to 1 is Robbie's fancy to get one over on the Gold Cup champion. Mark, how are you seeing this?
Do you know, I think I'd want a little bit more value than 3-1 for. I can see the case where Robbie is coming from with Protector App, but I'd like a little bit more value than 3-1 to beat the horse who's the widest margin Gold Cup winner since 1995. I think, you know, you're going to need a little bit more on your side to be brave about that. I actually thought, you know, after the tired, I would have concerns about his speed being blunted. You know, speed is his absolute ace card. And, you know, these conditions, you know, if we do get softer than soft, I don't think it helps him in any way. I know what Robbie's saying about Frodo. Maybe Nicholas believes he's better on quick ground. But, like, you have 4 starts on officially ground described as heavy in his career. He won 3 of them, including a big handicap chase at Cheltenham off 154, bolted in. Like, I mean, I actually think here at the prices, is he not the wrong price at 33-1? Like, I'm not saying he's going to win, but I think from his 33-1 price makes him very attractive in the betting without markets. And you can get 14-1. I see with Bet365, just scanned the various options. 14-1 throwdown without Apu Tar. To me, like, I'm not overly worried of Bristol Demai. I don't think he's the force of old. El Dorado Allen, again, I'm not sweet on him. I think he's got pretty much a Protectorat to beat. Protectorat's coming here on the back of, you know, failing to really fire at Aintree, now having the third wind up of his career. I just think at 14-1, even if you wanted to be a little bit less ambitious in 14s, you can get 11-2 throwdown without Protectorat and Apu Tar. I think that's the way to play it here, rather than banking on Protector App being better than Apu Tar at 3s, or smashing into Apu Tar at the sharp price when, you know, you have that little bit of a concern over the ground.
Do you know what, Mark? I'm glad you said that, because when I looked at it, I'm like, hang on a sec, throwdown 33s. He's not that far behind on RPR. He's third in on RPRs. You know, I mean, he's one of these horses that keeps confounding everyone. So I will be following you in there, my friend. Well done. Right then, our final race on ITV on Saturday at Haydock is the 3:35. It's the best odds on the Betfair Exchange handicap chase over 3 miles, 1.5 furlongs, 12 runners go to post, and Houston, Texas is current 4-1 favourite. 6-1 is Fontaine Collonge, along with Lord de Maynil, 15-2 Musical Slave, 8-1 Good Boy Bobby and Trucker's Lodge, 9-1 the Big Breakaway, 16 bar. Mark, who do you fancy?
Well, if you're an NFL fan, the Houston Texans haven't been much good lately, but I think Houston, Texas could be pretty good here. Love his profile in terms of the context of the race. You have lots of horses here who look to be kind of past their sell-by date to a certain extent, you know, as far as winning a 60 grand handicap is concerned. And I think this fella is totally on the up, you know. Only had the 8 starts, I think, 5-over fences, won 3 of them. You know, Nicky Richards, just you get the sense that this is a lovely bit of placing from him, you know, getting in off 10-5 here. You know, just feel he's the one that has all the upside here. For all that he's got to keep improving. I thought the handicapper could have been harder on him last time than just giving him 6. Houston, Texas, hopefully to do the business.
Who for you, Rob?
Yeah, again, you're looking for horses that are going to enjoy a bog round Haydock, and none fits the bill quite the same as Lord de Maynil for me. I mean, he's won 3 times here on ground described as soft or heavy over marathon distances. It was quite a nice comeback, actually, in a chase behind Lemilos, who bolted up, but he's a very well fancy for the Coral Gold Cup. And Lord de Maynil normally takes a run or two. He went off 33-1 that day. He was quite weak in the bet, and I think that was a good run. He's off 1-4-6. I know he's getting on a bit, but he's going to like it out there, and I can't really see him being out the 3.
Splendid. That was Haydock. Ascot next.
The world's number one horse racing app just got better. Download the brand new Racing Post app for free to experience our new game-changing odds comparison, exclusive daily big-name tipping, and unrivaled app-only content. Head to the App Store to download it and get started.
Welcome back to the Postcast, brought to you by Racing Post Members Club, and also brought to you by Bruce Millington, Mark Boylan and Robbie Wilders. We've done 4 ITV races from Haydock. Let's do the 3 ITV races from Ascot on Saturday, starting with the 205. It's the 2-mile, 5-furlong Chanel Farmer 1965 chase. It's a grade 2. We've got 5 runners, and the favourite at 4-7 is Lom Press, the magnificent Lom Press. Now, Hitman is in at 11-4. If we take it that he's going to come out of this and run at Haydock, then everyone will shorten, including obviously the favourite, including also San Calvados, who's currently 17-2, Do Your Job currently 20-1, and Cool Cody currently 40-1. What's Cool Cody not doing in a big runner handicap at Cheltenham? We'll come to that. We'll start with Robbie. Are you expecting Lom Press to just turn up, kick off, and just run them ragged, or could you see an upset?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, providing the Hitman doesn't run. I mean, obviously, it is his first preference to go to Haydock. But if whatever happens, if something happens and he does run at Ascot, I think he's got every chance to beat in long press. But going on the assumption that he doesn't, which is likely, I think he's going to have too much here. I mean, he's already won over this course and distance, looked really good there last season. You know, it's a grade one horse. He's facing a horse in St. Calvados, who's not been quite operating at that level. I know St. Calvados is good at Sandown, but that race sort of fell apart. Do your job, call Cody. Not quite up to this level for me. So, yeah, it should be quite a plain sailing for Lompress.
Do you concur with that view, Mark Boylan?
Yeah, it should be very hard to beat Bruce Knight to spend any more time in it.
Okay, we won't then. We'll move across to the 240 at Ascot, which is the Coral Hurdle. Over 2 miles, 3.5 furlongs. And I'm glad we're moving towards this because we've got the lovely, mighty Constitution Hill. Such an exciting horse. Heading the market at 2-7. It's 11-2, Brewing Up a Storm. 9-1, Goshen. 66 for Pleasure and 100, You Tread. It's great to see these stars, Mark, but it's kind of tinged with a bit of regret that they're so short because there's so little going up against them, isn't it? I mean, the small fields are absolutely blighting the jumps game at the moment, aren't they? You know, we've got lovely ground, but it is what it is. It'll be an interesting race. Will it be a procession for Constitution Hill?
Yeah, you're right. You'd love to see him get a bit more of a test here, but I actually think the nature of how the race might unfold here with Goshen in there and For Pleasure, who are going to go forward, you'd imagine that it could lend itself to a really good performance from Constitution Hill, given how much he loved that strong pace at Cheltenham. You know, he's just going to take all that the world of beating. The vibes coming from Seven Barrows seem to be stronger than ever. And yeah, look, at it. I hope to God just that we keep Constitution Hill and Honeysuckle in one piece. We're not going to see them clash before March, and I'd love to see them tested greatly before then. But that's the one clash that everybody can't wait to see this year. And hopefully they all pass their test with flying colours in the meantime.
As things stand, who would win that and by how far?
Jesus, the how far question is tricky, but I'd say Honeysuckle would win, and I'd say probably knowing Honeysuckle, it'd be 3/4 of a length. She never does it by too far, but I think the value at the moment is Honeysuckle. I just think she's constantly underestimated, and if Honeysuckle got the pace set up the Constitution Hill had in the Supreme last season, who's to say she wouldn't have been an impressive winner too? For all that he is potentially a generational talent, she is the queen. She's the one they all have to beat, I think.
Right, I'll go Constitution Hill by 7, Robbie.
Cool, by 7. I'll go 3.
Okay, fair enough. But back to the tomorrow's test. How easily will Constitution Hill win, if indeed you think he will win?
Yeah, I think he will. I think Mark makes a good point about Goshen and Full Pleasure, that they'll make sure they don't hang around there. So it's not going to be a crawl. But I feel like whichever way you run the race, he's going to win if they go slow, if they go quick. Like, he's just got the superior engine. And he's receiving weight from Goshen. Brewing Up a Storm's gone a bit crazy lately. I just think he wins very easily, Bruce.
Okay. Paul Keighley and I were chatting on the golf course the other day about how you don't get enough good horses in handicaps. We've got a good horse in a handicap next. A very good horse. It's the 3:15. It's the Jim Barry Wines Hurst Park Handicap Chase over 2 miles, 1 furlong. 9 runners and Edward Stone, the aforementioned very good horse, is 3-1 favourite. He's got to give absolutely tons of weight away. Boot Hill is 9-2. Time White is 5-1. So Scottish is 11-2, and it's 8-1 bar. Robbie, what do you make of this assignment for the brilliant Edward Stone?
Yeah, it's good to see him. I mean, there's no doubt he can win off 161. We're seeing a lot of good horses winning off big weights lately. I just thought if the ground was testing, I was thinking Frere Bamboo would be quite interesting. I mean, he loves it. He loves the mud, but he didn't get it at Ascot on his return over this course and distance. It was a good second to Time White. He's £7 better off. But I feel like conditions are going to be a bit more in his favour this time. And I think Venetia Williams' horses are kind of taking a run this season. So that should have put him spot on. He's off the same mark. I thought he was the each-way play. But yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if Edwardstone won. But I don't really see too much juice in his price.
Jolly good. Mark Boylan, what's your verdict on this race?
Glad to see Edwardstone here. Fair play to Alan King for having a crack. But I think Time White might be the one here. Just wonder, does Edwardstone really want to get himself into a big tangle here in terms of a slog this close to the Tingle Creek, assuming that might be where he could go in terms of, you know, early season target. Just Nichols absolutely flying at the moment. And, you know, this horse up 7 for winning over same course and distance last time. Thought he could have done more to him there. The presence of Edwardstone means he hasn't been hit overly hard in terms of having to shoulder a big weight. It's 11-2 here. The vibe from the camp in Nichols's was that he would need the runner, was going to improve considerably for the run last time. If he does that, you know, I'd be very, very confident he's better than a mark of 149. And he'll be one of my stronger fancies of the weekend, time wise.
Lovely stuff. Thank you, Mark. Let's see what else the boys fancy on Saturday. We've got Haydock and Ascot undercards. We've got Huntingdon over the Sticks. We've got 9 race all-weather cards at Lingfield and Wolverhampton. First race, Lingfield, 11.05, no less. And we've also got Punchestown. Robbie, what have you got for us? Do not give your nap away.
Yeah, a couple I like at Punchestown, Bruce. First of all, in the 1.38 maiden hurdle, absolute notion is going to be tough to beat for Gordon Elliott. He won the Goff's Land Rover bumper. That horse has got a rich history at the Punchestown Festival. Rob Corr bought into him. He should win that. And in the following race, the 2.13 Mayor's Hurdle, Queensbrook, for me, will get the job done. She was disappointing on her first run, but, I mean, she always takes one to get going, this mare. She was really good second at the Cheltenham Festival in the Grade 1. All roads lead to that later on in the season, and she should win, I'd say.
Robbie sticking his neck out there with two huge prize horses. Mark, what have you got for us?
I'll have a go at Punchestown on Saturday as well. 103, Hallowed Star, the one I like. I hope there's a little bit of juice in the price because you're going to have Gordon Elliott with two useful enough types in there.
Seeing 5-4, Mark.
Are you serious? Okay, right. I thought he'd be a bit bigger.
But it'd be a pretty poor joke, wouldn't it?
Well, there you go. But I think he's going to win. And I think, you know, Midnight Run is useful, but he's probably soft. And just everything is kind of setting up nicely for him. Shark Hanlon is a confident fellow by nature, but I get the impression he really, really does like this horse, particularly in comparison to others even. So, Hallowed Star, hopefully. Sure, there might be a treble there between what we put up the punch.
Yeah, I tell you what, Hallowed Star was on my list, Mark. I thought it was going to be much bigger as well, but 5-4, that's a bit...
Strange. I fancy Lompress, Constitution Hill and Appleutard as well, Rob.
Well, your Appleutard's going to lose, mate, so you've lost the bet there.
All right. Anything else Saturday, lads?
Nah, not for me, mate.
Right. Some great stuff coming up in 10 seconds from Punchestown on Sunday.
Tis I, Dave Orton. Join me and an excellent panel every Saturday on Racing Post Live in association with Betfair. Tips, previews, live race reactions, and of course some raucous laughs along the way. That's Racing Post Live every Saturday. Subscribe to the YouTube channel so you don't miss a thing.
It's the final part of the postcast with Bruce Millington, Mark Boylan and Robbie Wilders. Great to see ITV4 showing 7 races on Sunday. 4 from Punchestown and 3 from what used to be called Devon and Exeter. You two young lads won't remember that, will you? It's probably the mid-90s, Exeter Racecourse was known as Devon and Exeter. Did you know that, Rob?
Nah, not a clue, mate, nah. Cheers for the lesson, though.
That's all right. Right then, anyway, let's get on to the main event, the 2.05 at Punchestown on Sunday. It's the Unibet Morgiana Hurdle, 2 miles and half a furlong. We've got 5 runners declared, 3 from Willie Mullins, 1 from Gordon Elliott and 1 from Noel Mead. I can't see any prices right now. If you've got any boys, you can help me out. But the 5 runners are Jesse Evans, Saudi Air, Charger, Stateman and Tia Poo. Mark, who's going to win this?
It was funny, earlier this week, you know, you're looking to try and do a piece in the build-up to a race like this, and you see 6 of the 8 entries headed from Willie Mullins, and you're wondering, geez, there's not a mad amount of trainers that could be ringing here in terms of, you know, stories to get. But Patrick Mullins' association with Charger has been, you know, a standout in, you know, the last few seasons, ever since they won the Galway Hurdle together. And I said, I'll put in a call to Patrick. I said, I like the Charger, to be quite honest. Looking even at the original field, he was my selection in it. And Patrick wouldn't have put you off in terms of confidence. It was a piece we had in the paper this week. He thinks he's the one to beat. And I don't disagree. You know, some of Willie's horses this season, you know, naturally enough, I think they're out slightly earlier maybe than other times of the year. They are shaping like they'd improve for the run. You know, he has had winners, I know, yesterday, for example. But Ellie May looked like she needed it. Gentleman to Me was below par. I just think Charger has come out and won this race before. He won on his comeback last year. And it's probably a similar type of race. You know, okay, Stateman could be a bit better than Zanny here, maybe at this stage of their respective careers. But I don't think there's a million miles between them, I suppose, in terms of ratings. But he's not the sexiest 6-time Grade 1 winner Charger that you've ever seen. But he's bloody effective. And as Patrick pointed out, you know, when Charger is on song, Honeysuckle is one of the only horses probably that does have his measure, I suppose. And, you know, Saudi or Jesse Evans, they're not at this level compared to what we've seen in recent seasons. Tihupu is the one that if he bounced back, he'd be a danger. But I think it's a straight shootout with Stateman and Charger. And Charger is the one that's been there, done that. And if, you know, Stateman is going to be a champion hurdle horse, he's going to have to put him in his place first. And I'd imagine Stateman will be the favourite. You know, Townend's down to ride him. But Charger, just, he's always underestimated. He never
chronically underestimated horse, isn't he, Mark? He really is. I mean, you look at that CV, he deserves a lot more credit than he gets, doesn't he?
100%. And like, you know, you can just rely on him even in small fields. You know, some horses you're going to see the best of them with getting a strong pace. This guy, it doesn't seem to matter. He can pull it out of the bag. Now, look, he did miss time at the start of last season, or the end of last season, I should say. He didn't get to Cheltenham, for example. Willie said he was a little bit slower coming back in than others, but one thing that was pointed out was that he did delight him in a school and hurdle at Clonmel last week. So, or Tipperary, sorry. So, Tipperary's hurdle, Clonmel, somewhere like that for a school and hurdle. They were very happy. And it was just music to my ears because I did fancy Sharjah and I got a good vote of confidence down there, I think. So, hopefully, he'll be the one to make it 3 wins in the race. Only Hurricane Fly and Limestone Lad, I think, have done that.
Okay, breathe. Well done. Right. If you go on the Racing Post Pro card at racingpost.com, you can click on past winners down the bottom. It's always really interesting. And if you click on past winners for the Morgan, it'll tell you that Willie Mullins has won it 9 times out of the last 10 years. He's won it with some greats. Hurricane Fly, Nichols Canyon, Forheen. Sharjah has won it twice. Saudi has won it as well. The only other non-Mullins horse to win is Abracadabra. So some really interesting stuff there. It is always a very informative race. What will it tell us on Sunday, do you think, Robbie?
I think it'll tell us how good State Man is, certainly, because we know where we are with Sharjah, obviously, as Mark pointed out, perennially underestimated horse. We've not seen prices yet, have we? But I was interested in Tia Poo each way, 2 places potentially. I mean, what he did at Goram Park last year in the Red Mills trial hurdle when he smashed Durasso 11 lengths, I thought this looks like a real grade one horse. He didn't show it at Cheltenham Punchtown, but he does have a good record fresh. And he does like testing ground, and I do see a lot of rain at Punchtown. So you might be interesting. But yeah, without prices, I couldn't really get stuck in. But he's the one I'll be looking at potentially for an each way bet.
Okay, gents, we've got 3 other races at Punchestown on the box on Sunday and 3 at Exeter. Do you have any other TV fancies for us, Mark?
One on TV, Bruce, the 140, or the 130, I should say, at Punchestown, the Florida Pearl. You know, even with a view to Cheltenham, I like the look of this, the Devil's Coachman. I think provided he gets a cut in the ground here this weekend, and I think there is some rain forecast on Saturday. If we got soft ground, I'd be very confident he'll take fair whacking in that. I think he's a really, really smart horse. And away from that, there's one other one Sunday, Passing Well. I like the look of him. He runs in the 12-10 at Uttoxeter. He was an eye catcher to me anyway at the Punchestown Festival, and he was second for Robert Tyner in a festival bumper there. The third O'More Park is seemingly held in decent regard by the Mullins camp too, but I just love that run. He's changed hands since, makes his debut in Britain. He's already had the benefit of run over hurdles before in Ireland. I just thought, you know, he could outclass them in that 12-10 Uttoxeter, Passing Well.
Thank you very much, Mark. Robbie, anything else for us?
Yeah, just my one was Devil's Coachman in that race Mark talked about, the 130 on Sunday at Punchestown. I did a piece in the Big Jump Off a while ago, putting up the Devil's Coachman for the Stayers Hurdle. And obviously, he's not going to stay over hurdles. But I quite like what he did on his first over fences this season. He jumped much better than he did last season. It didn't work out. I think it'd be too good there. So that's probably the one other play for me on Sunday, Bruce.
Thank you very much. 2 votes for the Devil's Coachman in the 130 at Punchestown on Sunday. It's nap time.
Postcast Naps, presented to you by Racing Post Members Club.
We'll start with Mark Boylan.
Head to Ascot on Saturday, Bruce, the 3:15 time white.
And Robbie?
It's got to be 3:00 at Haydock, Protector app to beat Aplutal.
Excellent. Ooh. You're not having that, Mark, are you?
Listen, he's a braver man than me at that price. But Robbie's just a braver man than me in general. He's my inspiration in this role, as you well know.
I didn't know that. No, I didn't know Robbie was anyone's inspiration.
No, I don't think I am, mate.
Sure, John
looks up to me a little bit, actually.
That's good. I'm glad to hear it. Now then, boys, great weekend of racing and also a massive weekend of football as well, with the World Cup kicking off on Sunday. And I would just like to promote the Racing Post World Cup video, which features fantastic insight from the great Mark Langdon and James Milton. You can check that out on YouTube. Boys, give us a quick fancy for the World Cup. Have you had a tickle, Mark?
I haven't yet, but Portugal is the one that I quite like. If we can get Cristiano Ronaldo away from Talk TV and Piers Morgan for half an hour. I think that, you know, just in terms of a quality squad, maybe they're not going to blow teams out of the water, but I just think they're going to win games. I think their group is, you know, it'll give them enough of a test to keep them at a standard without, you know, pushing them over the edge. What are they, 16, 17 to 1? I thought a little bit of value there, Portugal.
Jolly good. And what about you, Robbie?
Yeah, do you know what? I absolutely agree with Mark there. I mean, we're chatting, wouldn't we? Saying like you can see sort of weaknesses in all the squads, but I see quite a lot of depth in that Portugal team, about 16 to 1. I think they're quite well balanced, and they obviously won the Euros with a slightly weaker team. So, yeah, they look the value to me.
Okay, yeah, check out that World Cup video. Also, loads of great videos coming at you all next week on the Racing Post YouTube channel. On Monday, we've got the front page discussing all the big stories. Two great videos for you on Tuesday. We've got the Sweet Spot, myself and Steve Palmer looking at all the best golf bets. And also, Upping the Ante is back, David Jennings and Johnny Dineen with all the hot takes on the Cheltenham Festival. And there are bound to be loads of fresh clues thrown up this weekend. We're back next Friday for another podcast. We'd love you to join us for that. Have a great weekend, bet responsibly, and enjoy some brilliant, brilliant racing.